Another reason that I appreciate the body of Christ is that we get to interact over the scriptures and over life together. It is a joy, I trust, for you to sit down with a brother or sister in the Lord and talk about life. To talk about what you're dealing with and the struggles that you have faced, are facing, or are afraid you might face. To open the Word of God and share what you looked at in the morning in the devotions. And provide a measure of encouragement. To put your hand on the shoulder of an individual at the store you know as a brother and pray with them right there. And just bless them in prayer. To be able to pick up the phone and say, who do I call? I've got this going on. And to know you can call one of us. To know and to realize that there is a brother or sister who may be mourning or grieving a loss of a loved one, an illness that has wreaked havoc in their home. I appreciate you because I get to hear feedback from you and how God's working in your life and even from the time in the scriptures together. I enjoy hearing your questions. This week I was confronted on several occasions with a couple of questions about honoring your father and your mother. These questions were real from the depths of hearts of individuals that have fathers and mothers who are extremely difficult to honor. Men and women who do not live as Christ would want them to live. And yet, these individuals that I received calls from love the Lord, and they want to see their families walk in the Lord. And they see their parents as sometimes as stumbling blocks to that, or hindrances to that. And so, why is this so important, honoring your father and your mother? And how do I do it? So I thought we'd cover this. I know we've talked about it in the last several weeks in some ways, but I'd like to, if I may, go a little bit more practical. Understanding that not all of us live or have lived in a multi-generational Christian home. Many of you, I know, as I look out, have faced Christianity alone, or you're the first in your family. How do you do this? Honor your father and your mother. The church receives this command from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6. Lest we go down the road of, oh, this is just one of the Ten Commandments, We'll let that for the Jewish people. That's not for us. No. Paul reiterates this command in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says, honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Ephesians 6, verses 2. And 3. In answering the question of why this is so important, the most obvious would be it is God's command. It is God's command given to the church, and if you notice here, it is not given in a specific context. Only if your parents are easy to honor. But rather it is given as a command and instruction to the church. Throughout the Bible, this command was specified for God's people. Ten Commandments given to God's people around Mount Sinai. Here it's given to the church. And so let us realize something from the outset, that people who do not know God are not, we cannot expect them to understand and practice this themselves. What is interesting, though, is how much our world has gleaned truth from the Bible. As much as they do not want to admit it, they do practice biblical truth because it works, because it's helpful. You go out into remote tribes, the elders of the village are the most honored. How did they get that? Where did they understand that? Somewhere along the line, down through the many years, this was the tradition of their people. And let me remind you, we are all descended from Noah. And all people came from that central location and spread out across the world. Let us remember that traditions went along with the people. But we will also understand that as people express themselves, they will test these things and seek to establish their own parameters, of which we are seeing in our day. If it is easy, then we'll do it. But if it's hard, then it's not worth it. If it is easy to honor my parents, no problem, sure. But if it's hard, no way. And I get that. I get the reality of that. Because as was described to me this week in several instances, life has been hard for many of you. And the relationship with mom and dad, father and mother, is not good. Or is not how you would like it. The heart, you're in your heart, you're crying out to God, help me understand this, because I don't want to. Oh God, help my want to. As we introduced this concept a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how this provides a firm standard for a society, how it provides a parameters for a family where the father and mother are the honored ones, where that position is honored. And you know that not every father and mother lives life perfectly. You know they are sinners just like you. You know that some have trusted Christ and some have not. And the same has been true all down throughout human history. And yet God gives this, and He gives it to His people so that His people can be a people who stand out as holy, as His own, as people who are representing the very standards and righteousness of God in amongst a godless society. And so therefore, we take what God tells us and we understand its purpose. We are to live out His calling upon us as His holy people. That is who you are. And that is going to demand upon us life actions and things that are going to be difficult. But trust me, and you know that obeying what God has to say brings great blessing to your life. As I interacted with some of you over this subject, it was very helpful to me because, as you know, God has blessed, really blessed my own life with a Christian father and mother, one who I find it very easy to honor. I, as your pastor, have that very limited perspective when it comes to a family, of which I do not apologize for, but I am thankful for, and I rejoice in that. But I appreciate you sharing with me your life and your questions, because I know these are very real struggles for you as well. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles now to 1 Samuel chapter 15. And what I'd like to do is do just a few moments here on this word honor. And I believe in the scriptures, as we look at this term honor, this practice of honor, I believe we will see that its emphasis is upon a role, a position, and not necessarily upon a person or their actions. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, I will summarize the context in this way. Saul, the king of Israel, the first king of Israel, has gone out to battle with the Amalekites. He was strictly commanded to destroy everything, but he returned and he kept back certain things. And God sends Samuel to him and confronts him on this matter. We look at chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, verse 22, and we read, Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." Strong words. Why? This is the king, anointed king of Israel. This is the first king of Israel. And Samuel had anointed him. And the very king, anointed king of Israel, has sinned against the Lord, directly disobeying his commandments, saying, "I'm going to do it my way instead of his way. I will decide what is important, not God." And so he's charged with rebellion. And Samuel speaks these confronting words to him. Well, Saul's response in verse 24, "Saul said unto Samuel, I've sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord." So Saul makes a request here, and he confesses his sin. And he makes a request, "Samuel, come and worship with me." Now, this must have been some practice that was done, especially after a battle where they would a victory, where they would celebrate that victory with the Lord. And so Saul wanting Samuel to be a part of that, because Samuel was the spiritual leader of the nation. Samuel said in verse 26 to Saul, "I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel." And as Samuel turned about to go away, he, Saul, laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it ripped. And Samuel said to him, "The Lord has rent the kingdom of Israel from you this day, has given it to a neighbor of yours that is better than you." Who's that neighbor? David. And also, verse 29, the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Now, Samuel says, I'm not going to return with you to worship. You have rejected the word of the Lord. A natural response, I totally understand and I respect. What happens next is very helpful, though, in our understanding of honor. Because we see in verse 30, then he said, that is, Saul said, I have sinned. Honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. What do you think Samuel does? Well, if you're reading ahead, you know. But in your heart, what do you think he should do? In your heart, you're thinking, no way! This guy, no matter who you are, you have rejected the word of the Lord. I'm out of here. Saul makes this request, as the king of Israel, come and worship. Honor me now before the elders of my people. Samuel could have said, there you go again. You're still fearing people. Still caring about what people think. What Samuel does is shocking to me. Because what he does is, it says in verse 31, so Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. He went after Saul. The very one who rejected the word of the Lord. Why is this happening? I think this connection with this honor is so helpful. Because as the king of Israel, the position deserved honor. And Samuel honored Saul in his position as the king of Israel. But we know from what Samuel has already said that he did not honor what Saul had done. So how often do people find themselves in places like that? The people were instructed to honor the king. In fact, we are instructed in the New Testament to honor the king. But when the king himself is one who rejects God, it makes it awfully hard, doesn't it? It makes it very difficult. And what is interesting is that very quickly we can make the decision based on how we feel about a person. But what I believe God desires for us is honor, to tie honor with position. Tying honor with position, and that is the position of your authority as king, government, rulers, but in the context of the family, father and mother. So the why is God instructs this. God has designed the family, and he knows how it will best operate. And so, with that in mind, if God says we are to do something, then we ought to do it. So then the question comes, how? How do I do this when I have a mom or a dad or both who care nothing about the Lord, who criticize what I do, how I parent my children? How am I to do this? I want to take you to Matthew. Matthew chapter 22. My directing you here may seem like this is an oversimplification, but I do not intend it to be such. In fact, I intend it to be an amplification of God's greatest commands. Chapter 22 of Matthew, verses 37 through 40. Jesus is answering the question, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And his response is this: Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it: Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And I submit to you that the how of honor is the love of God and a love for your neighbor as yourself. You know, Pastor, that's not what I was looking for. Oh, I'm going to give you a few examples, but you know what? There's a myriad of relationships and people that I couldn't give enough examples to cover them all. But I want you to see and I want you to understand that what ought to be defining us as people is a love for God and a love for our neighbor as ourselves. Let me focus on that second. Love your neighbor as yourself. Is your father and your mother your neighbor? Don't say only if they live next door. Church, we should know the answer to this question. They are. Yes, they are. They are your neighbor. They are also your father and your mother. And so loving your neighbor as yourself. Again, God in his infinite wisdom put that commandment together. He worded it in such a way, love your neighbor as yourself. And so embedded in that is the thought and the thinking of how I would want to be honored, so I ought to honor my father or my mother. That's love. And you might say, well, I'm nothing like my father, or I'm nothing like my mother, and I don't want to be anything like my father and my mother. Nevertheless, we are called to love our neighbor as ourselves. And maybe you're sitting there and you are a father today and you're struggling with loving your father. Let me ask you this question. How do you want your children to honor you? How are they going to learn what that looks like? They're going to learn from watching you. And whether or not your father or your mother are easy to honor, your children are going to watch and they're going to learn from your example how you love, how you honor your father and your mother. Some practical examples and illustrations. If there is a situation where your father or your mother comes and they say something very offensive to you or to your family. Many responses could go through your mind. Oh, that's normal. That's mom and dad. Could be, I'm never talking to you again. It could be, don't ever show your face in our house again. And many of us would feel justified in saying such things after some of the things I've heard happen to some of you. I get it. But we're not justified to that. You know how you can honor in a situation like that? Would be applying what we see in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. It goes like this. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, be at peace. Live peaceably with all men. It could be such as explaining to your family that what just happened, I do not agree with, but I will go and I will talk to my parents about it. You see, the very fact of going and talking to someone who has greatly offended you is honoring them and showing love to them. It may be tough love, but it's showing love to them. It's showing that they have enough value, even though they have offended you, they have enough value in your heart and life to go and seek to make peace with them. That is honor. And your children are going to watch your efforts in seeking to honor your parents. And you are laying groundwork, whether it may be small, and you might think it's small, but I believe in the light of God's truth, you are laying large building blocks of a foundation for, by God's grace, a good and right relationship someday with your parents. Think about if you don't honor. Flip it around. Don't ever show your face in my house again. And that being the last word you ever say to your father or to your mother. Except for the incredible work of God, any relationship would be hard-pressed to ever happen. Oh, Christian, this ought not to be of our initiation. We are the ones who know God. We are the ones who God has reached out to us when we said no. Our loved ones, including our fathers and our mothers, need to know the love of Christ. And son and daughter, you have an incredible platform none of us have. And although the relationship may be rocky, practicing what God commands and honoring your father and mother provides some footing for you both to one day, by God's grace, come to peace together. And maybe if they know not God, they will see God in you. Don't burn those bridges. You honor by keeping the bridges open. And though they may burn their side and break it apart, you keep yours open. Because you know what? You're the one who knows God. And that's what God has done with you. This is so fundamental to society. Because as you practice this, you build a generational truth that by God's grace your children will practice. And their children will practice. And you will have a society that respects the elders, that honors them. Get this, that's going to want to take care of them. That's going to want them in their home or want to see and make sure that their needs are cared for to the day they die. But here we have in a society today where it's almost becoming a throwaway society, where the older folks, when they lose their productivity and value to us younger generation, let's throw them away. I hope you see this, how intricately important this is. And that we as the Church of Jesus Christ be a people that stand out clearly. We love God and we love our neighbor as ourselves, and that includes our parents. This commandment honors God's design of the family. God placed you in your father and your mother's home, in your life. This commandment honors God's word. If God says it will benefit, it will. This is a commandment with a promise. The first commandment with a promise. What was the promise? That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. What does that mean, living long on the earth? Well, think about this. If no one honors the fathers, their father and their mother, if that doesn't happen, then the older generation dies off quickly. Because no one's caring for them, nobody cares for them. And if that takes place, then your children aren't going to take care of you either. But if a society is honoring their father and their mother, then the father and mother's life is extended by God's grace as the children show them honor, show them care. And so the children will follow suit, understanding this fundamental building block that God has placed there, that you may live long on the earth. Don't you know? Don't you think God knows what he's talking about? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. This commandment presents us with the opportunity to have a beneficial relationship with our parents. I know relationships are two-way. I know that. But you do whatever you can to make sure it's possible to have a peaceful and beneficial relationship with your parents. Oh, I know probably in some of your minds, you're like, Pastor, I'm exhausted already. And I'm not going to blame you for this. What I do is I push you back to what God says. And do you believe what he says? And do you believe he knows what he's talking about? This teaches our children how they ought to honor us. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 5, we won't go there, but it talks about taking care of widows. And if you don't take care of your own household, you are worse than an infidel. We need to keep the big picture in view. In Bible times especially, parents relied heavily on their children in later years. We see in Acts chapter 6 that if there was no family to take care of the widows, then the church was to step in and do so. You see that also in 1 Timothy chapter 5. It is interesting. You see Peter and his mother-in-law is living with them. And Jesus goes and heals Peter's mother-in-law. You see Ruth. And she sticks close by Naomi, her mother-in-law, and taking care of her. It is interesting that you see Jacob and his sons, and those 12 sons, they take close care of Jacob till his dying breath. Dear ones, listen, honor is more than words. It is your attitude of your heart. And God knows your attitude. You may make efforts at honoring them, and it may be completely rejected, but you know what? God knows your heart. And we are called upon to honor God, not man. And you answer to God, dear ones. I answer to God. Let me just say a few words to the fathers and mothers in here. What this commandment does is it provides accountability for us. Knowing that our children are commanded to honor their father and mother, that would be us. Let's do what we can to make that a process that is easy and enjoyable, that is satisfying, that is full of peace and truth. Oh, I'm not saying compromise or go back on anything or whatever. I'm just saying realize what your children are called to do. Don't demand honor. Don't demand it. God already gave the command. You don't have to demand it yourself. Your life and your position is demand enough. Now, let me say that. Your position is demand enough. Let your life help them. Let your life help them. Honor is not something to be demanded, but rather something to be given. It is something intrinsically a part of this position of father and mother. So, dear ones, listen. As you know, you're going to have contact with a father or mother. Pray, God, help me to love them. And to love them as I would love myself. Show me how I might honor them. Answer that phone call when they call, even though you know they're just going to complain again. Speak kindly, and when you respond to their insults, speak with words of grace. Yeah, Christianity, it's not easy, is it? But we have God and His commands, and when He gives them to us, He knows what He's talking about. His ways are right, and He calls us to this standard, so let's be that kind of people. Your parents have value. Although you may find it hard to find. It may be battered and beaten. It's not pretty. But in God's sight, they are of value and deserving of honor because of who they are, of their position, of their role. I'm not saying you have to agree with them. And I'm not saying you have to do what they tell you to do. I'm not saying that you can't contradict them or even call them out. But what this commandment does is it causes you and I to stop and to say, you know what? I'm not going to act on my feelings, but I'm going to act on what God wants me to do. He wants me to treat this situation with honor. He wants me to treat them with honor. So how can I do that? Even though I feel over here, I know what God says is honor over here. And so this is where we ought to be and live and what directs our actions. Our feelings are real. I know that. Some of you shared your feelings with me this week, and that's fine, and I appreciate that. It helps me know how to pray for you and understand more of your life and perspective. But God says honor, and so let's do it. And I'm excited to see what happens as we practice this. And I believe you have been practicing this. I've seen you practice this. You've shared with me things that you've done, and it's true. You've honored them. Keep doing it. Keep at it. Because there's blessing in obeying God. Oh God, take this and use it. You know hearts. And God, what I have to say sometimes can come across in wrong ways, but Lord, I believe I have said what you wanted me to say. Oh, I thank you for your church, and we are a people together in this. And I thank you that we have people from all walks of life and all different scenarios of life, and I can learn and glean from them and they from me, but we all understand it's your truth upon which we stand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, I pray for the choir as they practice that it be a blessed time. I pray for us as we fellowship, as we eat, that it would be a pleasing time in your sight. I pray, Lord, that our meeting today would be just so fruitful and encouraging, not only to us, but to you, Lord Jesus. Amen.